TV.
Greetings in Christ, everyone. I'm Martin Zender, and you're at MZTV. Welcome to the show. It's amazing that God gives us the end of the story from the beginning. And we know that the tribulation is coming upon the earth. Jesus calls it birth pangs. 7 years, the worst of it, 3.5 years, to shake the earth at its foundations, to cause to fall the religion and the politics of this world, to make way for God's religion and politics. And the advantage we have over other people is that we believe God. We're not preterists. We don't read the book of the unveiling of Jesus Christ, i.e. Revelation, and get some crazy idea that these things aren't going to happen, that these things were somehow fulfilled, quote, spiritually or metaphorically back in the year 70 AD when the armies of Rome under Titus sacked Jerusalem. In no way was that the tribulation spoken of in Revelation. Anyone who reads the details of what is going to happen during the tribulation, you'd have to be on some really hard drugs or on the drug of deception to believe that any of that happened in 70 AD when the armies of Rome sacked a city in the Middle East, even a significant city. No. It is a state of denial. Preterists are in a state of denial. And I think most of the world is in a state of denial. Even Christians are in a state of denial because many of them today, I find, are praying for repentance of the nation, the United States, so that they will stay the tribulation. They are praying that God's people will turn to Him and that God will bless our nation and that this nation, the United States, will somehow lead the world into a Christian renaissance. And it will be a time when Christians, and I really do think they believe this, that they will become perfected because they will have repented of their sins and they will, the Spirit of God will dwell in them so much that it will impel them and compel them to change the world for Jesus. They have programs even now, the religious world does, the Christian world especially, to take the gospel to every nation. They think that this is the day of the Great Commission. It's not, but they think it is. That's a tragic mistake. But out they go, trying to change the world for Christ. Look at the world. Tell me if you think it's a success. I'm not mocking them. I am definitely mocking them. If it weren't so tragic, it would be a comedy show. The world is headed for this tribulation that will be authored by God. No one will have to ask, is this the tribulation? Or do you think the tribulation has started? Because we are going to see strikes from God, directly from the hand of God, supernatural strikes. No one will be able to say, bad spell of weather. No one will be able to say, this is just global warming. No one will be able to say that at all because there will be the supernatural locusts that come up from the submerged chaos. There will be the 200 million supernatural cavalry. The sun will scorch people 5 times the usual amount of heat. And then it will go dark. It's going to be one divine strike after another. And we know this is coming. And we're always looking for signs, and there are plenty of signs. I'm not going to get into the signs today. That's not my purpose. My purpose is this, that when we see what God is going to do, when we see ahead of time how God is going to shake the earth in order to rid it of its vaunted self-opinion, in order to rid it of its religion, rid it of its politics. When we see that that's going to happen, it is easy for us to distance ourselves from the targets of the indignation of God. the indignation of God is coming upon the human race to wake them up. We are already awake, which is why we are not appointed to indignation. Our apostle says we are not appointed to indignation, but to salvation, to the procuring of salvation. If the purpose of there's two purposes to the unveiling of Jesus Christ, to the tribulation. One is to decimate the world's pride. And yes, it will be doing that. PhDs from Harvard will be hiding in the rocks. Terrible. I mean, I'm not making light of it at all. It's horrible. But the other thing the tribulation is going to do is it's going to bring out the true Israel. It will be the occasion for God to call forth the 144,000 and the vast throng and to acquaint them with the new covenant, to bring his spirit upon them and to cohere the true nation of Israel. That country over there right now, those are the fakers. The true Israel is scattered, like the house of Israel is scattered among every nation on earth, and God is going to bring them back to himself. When is he going to do that? During the tribulation, when the Spirit of God descends on these people. And John testifies to this in the unveiling, that there are 144,000 who will be sealed, who will go through the day of indignation. So for those people, for Israel, the day of indignation is a rallying cry. Some will be preserved during the tribulation. Some will die during the tribulation as martyrs, which will be a great honor for them, and it will lead them to a better resurrection. I get that phrase from Hebrews. But for the world at large, it will be total shock and destruction. No one's prepared for it. Someone was asking in yesterday's comments. Well, actually, they were making a comment. Say, Martin really doesn't believe in prepping too much, does he? Martin doesn't believe in like preparing for disaster, preparing for the grid to go out. And no, Martin Zenner does not prepare at all. Not at all. I want to. If any of the opening strains of the tribulation touch us, which I don't think they do, I'm just throwing myself at God. But it's not going to happen. We have no business being here when God takes up with Israel again. So please, nobody worry about that. In fact, I made a comedy show. I made a video about preparing for the tribulation. I'm going to link that down here. The first part of the video is how I, Martin Zenner, prepare for the tribulation. It's a joke, but you'll get a laugh out of it. I think it's hilarious. I hadn't seen it in years. Watch it. It's linked down here. So, no, prepping is a joke. The only preparation we need is to be established in Paul's gospel. Paul's gospel is the modern day ark. We're in the days of Noah. The Lord compared these days to the days of Noah. In the days of Noah, God saved 8 people. Some people still mock me for believing there are so few members of the body of Christ, but at least I say there's more than 8. But that would be consistent if there were only 8. But I believe there are probably around 1,000. I'm guessing, but it's an educated guess. Extremely educated guess. I don't know. But there are more dead in Christ than alive in Christ. But we will not be here. But how are we to act? This is the question, and this is the crux of this show, is how are we to act with the world? How are we to interact with the world? Very, very lightly. Why? Because we see what is coming upon the world. For 3 years, I have been running down 17th Street and then across on A1A, along the ocean, and then down past the Elbow Room, yeah, the famous bar in Fort Lauderdale, down Los Olas Boulevard to 3rd Street, back to 17th Street. This is my 8-mile route. But for 3 years, I've been going past the workmen building the new convention center. It's really a work of art. And I'm watching these guys for 3 years. It's almost finished now. It could have been 4 years they've been working on this thing. Vast mass project. I'm so thankful when I see all these men employed. I'm so thankful for people that have jobs that are supporting their families. But I'm thinking, what a pity that this beautiful building is going up and it's going to fall so soon. So soon. Because during the tribulation, there will be a giant earthquake And the scripture says, and the cities of the nations fall. One of the greatest understatements in the Word of God. I would say the greatest understatement is God saying in Genesis, and he created the stars also. One simple statement, he created the stars. That's a great understatement. Wow. Can you elaborate? No, I'm just going to, I created the stars. And then I took a break and then I, you know, got a sandwich. But the cities of the nations fall means that every building will fall down. Every building of every city will crumble. That will make an impression on people who are impressed with cities or who are, I think now it should impress people to hold as loosely as possible and to think as little as practically possible to, I almost don't want to say this, but to admire as little as possible the great works of man because they are going away. This is why Paul says, this is why Paul says in 1 Corinthians 7 to hold on loosely to all things, including your own family members. Fulfill your duties and love one another, but hold on loosely. This is why, because we see the end. That's my whole point, is we get a pre-look. We get a backstage pass to look at how things are going to end. We see that God is going to destroy the religions of the world. Knowing that, why would we form any sort of alliance with the religions of the world? Why would you become involved with a doomed enterprise? Religion is doomed. Politics is doomed. It's all doomed. Now we can watch with amusement and we can root for the good guys and against the bad guys, all the while knowing that both the good guys and the bad guys who are without Christ will be hiding in the rocks and wishing that they had been us, wishing that they could have spent their days in the scriptures, knowing God, knowing Christ, learning about Christ. It's so amazing that we are doing this without the tribulation. But then God brings personal tribulations into our lives. God brings trials into our lives. We're far more sensitive than most of the people in the world, but this is an act of God also causing us to seek him early. We seek him early. We come into this truth early, thank God. And to the early comers, he looks around, he says, hey, I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do in the near future, okay? And then he opens this veil. He says to us, he said, I opened this truth to a guy named John years ago. I had him exiled to islands named Patmos in the Mediterranean there, and I gave him a vision. Actually, no, let me correct myself. I sent him to the future. I sent him to the future and showed him what was going to happen. Oh, wow, that would have been great if he'd written that down. Oh, he did write it down. I made sure he wrote it down. This is what is going to happen. What? We have this. And yet, how is it possible that people still go about their business getting entangled with the world's affairs, entangled in politics, entangled in religion, entangled in the affairs of men that are so soon shaken and destroyed? Not me. I'm tiptoeing through the tulip. I run past that construction site every day. I thank God that the men have work. I look at the building. I can admire it on one hand, and on the other hand, shake my head. And when it's done, I even want to go in and check out how beautiful it is. But I am going to tiptoe through that building, just as I tiptoe through everything else in life. Remember Tiny Tim? Tiptoe through the tulips. Tiptoe through the tulips in the garden. I'll spare you the rest. tiptoe through this world. Tread lightly. Be kind. Yeah, people say, Martin, you be kind. You criticize all these teachers in the Word of God. Oh, but I'm kind to the world, as our Lord was. What judgment do I have against the world? I'm kind to them because I know that they're all in for the shock of their lives, and they're eating and drinking and marrying like this is a normal day, a normal time. It is far from a normal day, far from a normal time. And so I'm kind to the world. I'm patient with the world. I'm less patient with the members of the body of Christ who are leading some in the body of Christ astray into false teachings. That's my business. That was Christ's business. It was Paul's business not to judge the world. I have pity on the world. Their enterprises will soon come crashing down. And they're invested. This is the sad, tragic thing. They're invested heartfeltedly. They're so enamored of things that are going away. Things that are built on sand. Jesus told his disciples, build things on the solid rock. And that's what we've done. Thank God and Jesus. We have built on the rock of the scriptures, on the revelations of our apostle Paul, and all else is sinking sand. There's a great hymn we used to sing at concordant meetings back in the early mid-90s. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other things, whatever, are sinking sand. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. That's it. On Christ the solid rock we stand. All other ground is sinking sand. But it looks so magnificent. Yeah, I know. That's what the disciples said about the temple. Lord, have you considered this temple? Look how beautiful it is. What a gleaming piece of construction. A masterpiece. And Jesus said, hear me and hear me good. Not one stone will be left upon another of that temple. In a few short years, that prophecy was fulfilled. In 70 AD, but that was just a dress rehearsal, ladies and gentlemen. 70 AD was a microcosm of the tribulation. My God, preterists, please wake up. It wasn't the tribulation. It was a dress rehearsal. It was a microcosm. It was a little tiny precursor of the greater judgment to come. And what did Jesus tell his disciples? When you see this happening, when you see that happening, get the hell out of Dodge. Paul is telling us the same thing, except we don't have to get out of Dodge physically because we're in the world and we're stuck here for now. But we're to get out of Dodge in our minds, in our expectations of the world. Why are you expecting anything from the world now? You shouldn't be. You'll only be disappointed. But our expectation is in God and Christ. Our expectation is to be extricated out of this present wicked eon and delivered into the kingdom of the Son of His love, coming to a theater near you.